Are we rolling? Podcast. We good to go?
We're good.
Oh, man. Here we go. Agricultural Accepts. Our executive producer, Stein Handler, just told me what episode this is. Episode 10 of Agricultural Acts here at Indian Ladder Farms. We've got Dieter. We've got Scotty. We've got our executive producer, Stein Handler. And no Alex this afternoon. Oh, there he is. We thought we were going to miss you for this episode. You're a busy, busy man.
No, I'm here. I'm a little busy. We're working on our large fooder that I just got for cider.
Fooder.
Fooder. It's all right. It's a large wooden vessel.
You keep going at it. You work.
Old wooden ship.
From time to time, make comments that have nothing to do with what we're talking about, just like usual.
And then you can explain.
It's just work, 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 work.
And our very special guest, ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Rick Sicari from Albany Distilling Company.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
Rick, welcome to Agricultural Acts.
Thank you.
I was thrilled to find out that these guys lined you up as a special guest, probably for not only episode 10, but episode 11, too.
12, 13, I don't think I'm allowed to leave.
I think we ran out of people.
Yeah, we can't get an Uber to get him home, so we're going.
Rick is the proprietor of Albany Distilling Company, celebrating 100 years in business?
I think that's about right, yeah.
Uh-huh. But you're Albany's first post-prohibition distillery.
Licensed, I would say.
Licensed.
I can imagine there were some odd ducks in the past.
This is a podcast. We don't need to be technical about anything. Yeah. It's like the internet.
It's in my nature. I have to clearly state things.
We appreciate that. We are all dear friends with Rick. I think that's safe to say.
I appreciate that.
We know you well, but you know the audience of this podcast, Agricultural Acts, approaching Joe Rogan numbers, I believe. So there's a lot of people out there that might not know Rick Sicari.
I don't know Joe Rogan.
he's like the Oprah for men.
Ew.
Nice. That was the first snort of the podcast.
That was a good one.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. So, Rick, you are a Capital Region native?
Yes, sir.
But you're a dual citizen?
Yes, sir.
This isn't going
to
work.
Did you want me to elaborate?
So you were born where here in the Capital Region of New York?
I was born in Wilton, New York, mm-hmm. outside of Saratoga. But as far as my dual citizen is concerned, my mother was born and raised in Iceland.
Iceland.
Proud of it.
Because I was going to say, Wilton's still in the state, right?
Just barely.
So is Reykjavik.
Really?
Iceland is part of Scandinavia, right?
That's what they tell Icelanders. All right. You know.
Well, I put together a game tonight, and we'll get to this later.
Ooh,
it is IKEA product or Scandinavian author. We'll be playing that game a little bit later or throughout the course of the podcast.
I'm very excited about that.
So did you spend any time in Iceland, like significant amounts of time? Or?
Oh, yeah. When I was a kid, we used to spend 2-3 months at a time. I'm going back there for a wedding in July. Everyone's vaccinated. They let you into the country at that point. But there's going to be probably 300 people at the wedding, and I would say 250 of them are family.
That's big family.
That's half the population.
It's insane. That is the more than half the population.
Wait, does that mean
every hotel is full?
The one hotel.
Will Bjork be there?
She's talking about it. She's going to get back to us.
Did she go? Hush.
She's going to be in an upcoming movie called The Northmen or something. It's a Viking something or other movie.
I don't like anything with Vikings.
Along with Ethan Hawke, Willem Dafoe, which I hate that name. Willem. Can't it just be William?
Or Bill. Willem.
It's a Viking name.
Probably because he didn't choose.
I see where you're at. And Nicole Kidman also in that movie with Bjork. I always say this.
There's an Aussie in there. Nice.
Nicole Kidman loves to get naked. She loves to show her boobs for some reason.
She's an Australian lady, and I don't know.
Okay, that's a good point, Scott.
I have a thing for Aussies, as Megan knows.
that's what they play.
All right, so you're going to Bjork's wedding in Iceland.
Going to Bjork's wedding in July.
That's fantastic.
Yep.
Wilton, so you went to school in this area?
Saratoga High.
High school. Mm. I assume you went to college. You're a smart kid.
More or less, sometimes.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to Oneana, but then I did a master's in Sweden. So I spent 2 years in Sweden, came back, and then I went to Germany, and I did a year of a brewing apprenticeship.
Sweden also a part of Scandinavia?
That's what they tell me.
Germany?
No. As a matter of fact.
Unbelievable.
The Scandics are Iceland, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, and Finland.
Finland.
Yeah.
Nice job, Rick.
Yeah. I got nervous there for a second.
Well, then what are Lithuanians?
We don't talk about Lithuanians. Yeah.
And so what did you go to college for? What were you studying?
Accounting.
Mm-hmm.
Very nerdy.
All right. Well, this makes sense because I know I've been to Albany Distilling Company on tax day or tax preparation day for Rick, and he's got one of those accordion style folder things. And you had to speed along our meeting either because you despise me or you were going to some cabin in the Adirondacks to lock yourself in to do the taxes.
Absolutely.
Did he have his green visor on?
What is it?
The green visor.
You know what's funny is I do love accounting. I am a nerd, but I filed an extension on both my personal
With it being extended by an additional month?
You need a little extra time.
Do
to
they
let
know
marinate.
This back in Sweden?
If you're going to take all the allowable write-offs, you don't just dive in. You got to take your time.
Boy, smart. That's our that's tip number one. Yeah, so let's talk about we'll take a break from Rick's history to talk about this Ironweed whiskey, straight bourbon that we're drinking. Mm-hmm. Bottled and bond. Let me start there. What does that mean?
It is bottled and bond. It was actually the first Consumer Protection Act, 1897. You could imagine people do some shady shit. We can swear on this, right?
What?
Fuck yeah. No.
Okay.
let's try to keep the fucking swearing down to a fucking minimum, okay?
Okay. Let's not get overboard.
Look at my butthole.
Listen, I know this one. Rick has a 3-year-old son, 4-year-old son, Janelle. Oh, he's going
to
be listening
to
this. Yeah.
Can we edit this?
No, we can't edit this.
I've actually always found that the beep is way funnier than the actual
word. Janelle, just ask daddy especially what that word means.
Yeah. Oh, Janelle told me when we were going to bed last night, he said, Dad, when I grow up, I'm going to drink whiskey.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, do you want to talk about bond? You've clearly made a bond with your son there. That's,
you're not kidding.
That's way to go.
He's a good bond.
But so it was the first
whiskey. Consumer Protection Act, 1897. It was basically to be bottled in bond, it must be 4 years, must be 100 proof. The whiskey must be distilled all in the same season, and it can have never left the distillery. So basically when... Before this act, they would transfer barrels from distillery to distillery, town to town, and, you know, to get more color, they would throw nails in it to get rust. They would do all these weird things that make it seem like it's going to be a good whiskey, but it's not.
Is that where the term "I'm hammered" came from?
It is where the term "the rusty nail" came from.
Okay, yeah. All right, great spot up there on that's near Wilton.
Yeah, what about the rusty trombone?
What town is that, Clifton Park?
Sorry, I almost killed our producer.
With a rusty trombone?
We almost got out of Rick's name.
And I feel uncomfortable.
Rick almost.
All right, we're learning already. We're learning. I like that. Rusty nail. All right, so this is delightful.
Yes.
Cheers.
Very nice.
Cheers.
Very delicious. Cheers, boys and girls.
How many different varieties of whiskey, bourbon, such have? Yeah, that's you don't even want to think about that.
Well, so we do 3 standard whiskeys. We do bourbon, rye, and malt. But you know, you get me drinking, and you get me. Let's do something weird. I'm all for it. So right now we probably have 7 or 8 different types of whiskeys, whether they're higher proof, you know, bourbon finished in rum barrels, rye finished in Cabernet barrels, rye finished in apple brandy barrels. You know, we get weird.
We're gonna play our first round of IKEA product or Scandinavian author now. All right.
Nice.
I guess everybody can take a guess at this. The first one we're gonna go with here: IKEA product or Scandinavian author, Aplaro. Applaro. Applaro.
We each get a turn at guessing?
Yes. You go first, Dieter. Is that IKEA
I'm going to say that it's a delivered flat five-drawer dresser from IKEA.
Okay. Okay. You've been at IKEA before, I can tell. Rick?
I'm going to go with IKEA as well.
All right.
I don't know if I'm on the flat drawer.
I love that you guys are taking it to the next level of trying to guess what kind of furniture
it might
be. I'm
going to say an Applaro is a nightstand.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit smaller.
And
a little bit more
Scott? I'm going to go IKEA, but it might be like a Schlangenboom.
It is an IKEA product. It's an outdoor bench.
Yeah, see, that's a Schlangenboom.
Oh, it is a Schlangenboom. I thought that I had heard of
that
before.
We have a buddy that has these.
Yeah. My next one was Credenza.
Yeah. All right, so everybody's a winner on IKEA product or Scandinavian author. I'll drink to that. Cheers.
Jeez.
So you're in college. You're bouncing back and forth. You went to Oneonta first, then you went to...
Oneonta, yeah. So I went to Oneonta. I started brewing beer when I was 18 because couldn't buy beer, figured I could make it. Went through the 4 years there.
Where were the parents at this point, Rick?
We don't talk about that. They're not listening, right? Honestly, my parents were, they thought it was ridiculous and hilarious that I made beer when I was 18.
All right.
But I knew...
Good beer?
I had some good beers. I also had some beers that taste like baked beans.
What was the first one you made? Was it a brown ale?
It was a nut brown ale, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Why did it taste like baked beans, Scott? Scott's the brewer here at Indian Ladder Farms.
Because he did. Bush's baked beans barrel.
Yeah, I just fucked it up. I don't know. It was not a good beer. I've had a couple, weird stories when I first started homebrewing. The craziest was I did a yeast starter, and I did it.
With dry yeast?
No, it was liquid yeast. So I did my little DME starter. I pitched some yeast in it, put it in an ocean spray bottle. Thought I was good. Closed the cap. Craving the wave. I capped it off because I didn't realize that CO2 is a big thing there. 2 or 3 hours later, I went to the fridge. The ocean spray bottle, you know, ocean spray bottles have those really thick bottoms. It had completely bowed out, picked it up, looked at it, and it shot out of my hand and put a hole in the ceiling. And I was like, don't do that again.
As a teenage boy, probably not the first hole you poked in the ceiling.
Did your parents have to pay for that?
So you show up at Oneonta as a very good looking, I think that your doppelganger is maybe Christian Bale.
I'll take all the compliments.
And that psycho movie, especially.
I was going to say the guy who runs Franklin Alley.
Frank. No, no, no. We will not talk about Frank on this podcast.
Everybody hates Frank.
Yeah.
That's one thing we can all agree on.
I didn't
even
know Christian Bale ran Franklin Alley.
Yeah. We all hate Frank.
Big shuffleboard fan. Big shuffleboard.
You have a Christian Bale kind of thing.
Well, you should see my business card.
It is Christian Bale.
Christian Bale look-alike? Or American are you a potential
psycho.
Lunch winner?
American Psycho.
Nice.
But yeah,
so you show up at college. You're 18. You're brewing beer.
I fell in love with it right away, so I knew I'm going to make beer for my life. That's what I'm going to do. So I don't know how many batches I made. Graduated from college. Got a job at Old Saratoga Brewery. Rest in peace. Worked there on the packaging line for a year. Made 6-pack boxes. Always went over to the brew house and said, Hey, can I hang out with you? Eventually they gave me a job as a brewer. Left there, went to Sweden, did the accounting masters, but all of my projects were breweries. How can I basically take what I want to do and fit it into a project that they were making us do? And I always found a way to turn it into beer one way, shape, or form. The coolest thing though is when I was doing my I don't know, what do they call it at the end of the masters? Is like a
I don't know. A lot of inexperience. We barely got out of middle school here, so you know.
You had middle schools?
Oh yeah!
Wow,
it's a rural area, but we had middle school.
Oh, nice.
So basically, there's a final project for a master's. Thesis.
There you go.
See, executive producer Steinhandler over here.
I don't have a master's.
So the craziest thing, so I go to do my thesis. I'm going to write my thesis on how to financially manage a brewery. And so I just start reaching out to breweries all across Europe, and I'm like, hey, I'm an American Icelandic citizen. I want to open up my own brewery. You know, can I just dive into all your financials and figure out what you do? And I reached out to this guy in Copenhagen in Denmark, and he responded back 10 minutes after I sent the email. And he said, I'm actually the thesis advisor for the Copenhagen Business School and managerial accounting, and I own a brewery, so like, you can dive into all my financials and we can have a great conversation.
Amazing.
So it's kind of just like
beautiful.
Wait, was that McKellar?
No.
McKellar.
One of my cousins worked at McKellar for many years, though. Yeah.
Because they're in Copenhagen, right?
They are, but this was before McKellar was really a thing. This was 2010.
Well, they were still a thing. They weren't as big.
They weren't as big
as
a
thing. And that's where Jeppe and him, and that's where they broke off and... He started
The brothers. Yeah.
Is that the same?
Do they really?
Is that
do they really hate each other?
Keller?
I don't know. Here? It might be McKellar? The same person.
McKellar.
It might be the same person.
There's not really.
I don't know if they really hate each other, but I do hear. I mean, I hate my brother.
We have to get Jeppe on here. We gotta get the real story.
Here's the thing. I think the evil twin, they're twins that they hate each other. That's bullshit. I actually hate my brother, and that is real. Everyone hates Frank.
That's true. There's hashtags about it. There's movements. There's marches. He's there's the signs, worst. There's yeah. flags. Yeah. I hate Frank.
He's the worst.
Yeah. Really? Is this Christian Bale?
No, that's Christian Bale.
His brother's name's Hay.
No, but this
what?
Was...
Hay.
This was...
Still Icelandic, yeah. though.
Absolutely.
There's an umlaut too.
Okay, so you get this amazing auto reply from a real person.
I get this amazing auto reply. His name was Jens. He was the owner of Brewpub Copenhagen, which, if you find yourself in Denmark, awesome guy.
If you have the means.
If you have the means.
Right. So you found the guy was
greatest
like,
city in the world, in my opinion.
So the guy was like, wait, we've got this American. He claims he's Icelandic. He'll do our taxes.
Right. Basically. Yeah.
But I'm not kidding. I literally go in there. He's got all these reports. It's basically my thesis is written for me, wrote for me.
Written, wrote.
I'm not a, I don't know how to speak. I know math, but no. So he basically just welcomes me in with open arms, shows me everything. I'm still taking a lot of the reports that he used in his brewery, and we use them at Albany Distilling. So.
And so you come back at this point, you're mid 20s. You come back.
Yeah, I come back. I'm probably 24.
So
23,
how far? How long after that? Because you're in your mid 50s now, right?
At least.
Yeah.
At least.
So I'm just trying to.
You,
I know.
You haggard. Silver fox.
Haggard is usually the term to describe.
I was gonna go leathery.
Yeah. It's tough. What? Yeah. So 23, 24, I come back, and then I go back to Germany to do the Siebel thing.
Okay.
Which Scott Farkas over here has also a Siebel guy.
Yeah. Lynn Kruger, I love her.
Can I get a recap? I just joined.
Yeah.
Can you just go over the last.
We've spent the last 20 minutes in the Blue Lagoon in Iceland.
Rick hates his brother.
Yeah.
Oh, we've established that.
And
all right, let's move forward. I'm here.
No, I was going to say, let's actually sit on that for a little bit.
Okay,
let's go
yeah.
maybe around the circle and talk about why we hate Frank and what we hate most about
Frank. I
don't
even know Frank.
I know, and that's what
he
you hate most about
him. He was here the other weekend. He was here last weekend.
What? Supporting this place?
So why doesn't
the
Frank
nerve.
Reach out to me?
What a jerk.
Unbelievable. I don't like Frank because he's tall.
Yeah.
You don't like anybody tall.
He is tall. His face is stupid.
His face is stupid.
Was that his nickname as a child? Stupid
face? Yeah,
well, stupid face.
No, he didn't need a whack nickname. His name was Frank. That's the worst. I hate that guy.
Thanks, Dick.
Whoa. Yeah, that's actually funny.
In all reality, I know someone that really does not like Frank.
Who?
Oh, yeah? Okay, let's go.
Who?
Is it Megan?
It was someone that we used to make bike videos together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Frank probably did something to make this guy not like him.
Right. Stuck his foot in the sports.
There may have been a lady involved.
Ooh, that
means. All right.
Really?
All right.
So let's leave it at that.
Real quick, real quick, when you talk about Frank.
Nice. That was good.
Yeah. My name being Dick. So Frank.
What?
Frank is Wiener, right?
Oh,
no?
I mean, yes? If you really want
no?
to stretch
man, I love
it.
You.
Yeah.
I love
so
your
wait a minute. Are there other
now?
So
no, this is my dad. He is such a
He's a Sicari.
He named his son, his first son, Wiener. My sister, her name is Anna, which is an Icelandic name. Solveig, also Icelandic. And our last name is Sicari, so her initials are ASS.
Wow, very nice.
And they rounded it out, me as the baby with Dick. So basically my dad was like, I'm going to do something fun. And my kids are going to be named Dick, Wiener, and Ass, and we'll just go with that.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Sicari translates to assassin, so it you're does. Dick assassin.
Yeah, so don't fucking, don't piss me off. But yes, I am Dick assassin, my brother is Wiener assassin.
And your sister
and my sister is Ass assassin.
Ass assassin.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
It's a lot to handle.
That's awesome. That's
awesome. Yeah.
We're going to give Rick a chance to recover about a traumatic childhood with another round of IKEA product or Scandinavian author. That's the game tonight, Alex. I'm going to give you a word. You're going to tell me if it's an IKEA product or a Scandinavian author.
Alex has a freezer full of those little meatballs.
No, he doesn't.
Nausgaard. Ooh. Nausgaard, Nausgaard.
That's an author.
That's a Scandinavian author, says Alex.
I'm going IKEA.
IKEA product for Scott.
No, that's too smooth for IKEA, honestly.
Dick Assassin, what say you?
I'm going author as well.
Author?
Yeah, I believe it's Johnny Osgard.
Uh-huh.
And,
Carl Ove Nausgaard, born December 6, 1968, a Norwegian author, became known worldwide for six autobiographical novels titled My Struggle or Min Kamp.
See, it's only a Norwegian that can make six stories about my struggle.
I feel like that's actually a duvet cover.
Well, no.
No, it's a duvet
I
cover.
Looked this up on the internet.
It's a duvet.
It's a Scandinavian
if it's
author.
If it's on the internet,
yeah,
must be true.
Absolutely. I checked three Google, sources Google, on each one of these. Three sources. All right, so Rick Sicari from Albany Distilling Company is our guest on episode 10 here of Agricultural Acts at Indian Ladder Farms. Dieter, Scott, Alex are our normal guests, and our new executive producer, Stein Handler. Rick, we are now at a point in your
this
life
is why
where
we don't have video anymore.
You're doing okay. You kind of you have focus. You where did the focus turn from beer accounting to whiskey distilling?
So I've always been a guy who doesn't really sit still. So of course, when I was at Oneana, I worked at a liquor store. So I was making beer and working at a liquor store, which obviously booze comes into play pretty quickly. When I came back for the summers from Oneana, I would work at another liquor store in Saratoga, DeAndre's.
You never worked at a shoe store, did you?
Never worked at a shoe store.
Neither did I.
The reason Dieter asked that,
I'm sorry.
Rick was so smoothly telling his story. He's got his legs up on Scott's lap, and Scott took his shoes off and was giving him a foot massage.
It was nice socks. I had the socks.
That wasn't really happening.
I appreciate the offer, Alex.
There's not going to be any picture evidence.
No, you don't want to be a part of these down here at all.
No, so ultimately, yeah. I mean, I always like, because whiskey and beer are pretty damn similar. You have to make beer, and then you distill it, and you pull the ethanol out, and you stick it in a whiskey barrel. So, like I said, as I was making beer, I was working in liquor stores. I worked in cocktail bars. So it was always in my brain that I liked that world. But now I just make shitty beer make it better by putting it in a still and pulling out the good stuff.
I love that, and this is starting to become very evident. We're now in episode 10. Well, I love the sayings because I'm just making shitty beer now. Because it goes to show the science that's behind it and how you have a good sense of humor about that and you come up with these clever sayings. From someone's point of view from outside of it, I just love that. I make shitty beer.
So I did.
I would have to say that everybody in this room, except for maybe you, Jeff, has made a lot of shitty beer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've drunk a lot of shitty beer.
We might have made it for you.
No, not true at all.
That's what I always loved when you're like, oh, yeah, it's like when we're distilling over here, it's like we're making really, really bad beer.
Yeah.
And then we just.
So I did an educational tour for a restaurant group yesterday, and I talked about how I make shitty beer three or four times, and I was just like, it kind of dawned on me halfway through the tour. I was like, is all that you guys are going to gather from this whole thing is that I make really shitty beer?
That will be the tagline for episode 10 of Agricultural Acts. Rick Sicari, I make shitty beer.
And you know what? It's not wrong, so.
Rick, I came to you because I made a cider and it had this crazy off flavor that I just couldn't use. And I'm like, can you please make this better?
Well, we can fix that. That's the beauty of a still.
Yeah.
You know, ethanol
has... You can polish
a
turd with a still.
Yeah.
Ethanol has a very specific boiling point, and all these shitty flavors in beer have different boiling points than ethanol. So as long as you just pull out the ethanol, it doesn't matter how shitty
your beer is. I texted you. I was like, can you save my ass right now?
If you have like a huge like diacetyl issue, no problem.
A what issue?
No problem. Diacetyl or diacetyl.
I'm with you on diacetyl.
You're a diacetyl.
I hate people who say diacetyl.
Yeah. It's like, what up,
fuck
nerd?
Frank says diacetyl.
What up, nerd?
Fuck Frank.
Frank probably says diacetyl.
Yeah, I bet he does.
I don't even know this Frank.
You don't want to.
I kind of do now.
He's the worst. You know?
Dieter, drive all the way over to Troy to Franklin Alley. It'll probably be fucking closed.
I hate to break this to you.
I'm not going across the river.
Hate to break this to you. He looks exactly like Rick.
Well, he's a twin.
Whoa.
What? Oh, you are twin, bro?
No. Listen, our mothers are twins. Same dad.
Yep. Okay.
I will say...
I had to think about it, too.
Oh, my God.
You guys all look the same. Like, I used to mess with Rick. I was like, man, your sister's hot. And I was like, oh, wait, no, it looks like Rick. I was like, Rick, you're hot then. Yeah.
But it was really Frank.
Again, I'm going
to
return.
But then it comes down to Frank, and it's like, I don't know about you.
I'm gonna return to the hole that I feel uncomfortable in here.
So
should we get your safety blanket? You want the safety blanket?
During this process, your partner at Albany Distilling Company, Johnny Law, as I so affectionately refer to him as.
Johnny Law, the best.
Johnny Law, where has he come into the picture yet?
No, so he started Albany Distilling he started filing his paperwork 2011, opened the distillery in October 2012. I came into the distillery very early 2014.
Okay.
So I kind of jumped in on... what was already kind of brewing.
So he needed a bad brewer.
Yeah, he was a really bad brewer.
So he was even worse. Yeah,
he was a really bad brewer.
So just poke around like old Saratoga.
My beer might be shitty, but it's really efficient. His beer was shitty, and it was just not efficient. John is like, you guys all know him. He's wildly creative. He's the smartest guy I've ever met in my entire life. But he makes really shitty beer.
But he knows the law.
Oh, yes. He knows the law. Believe me, he knows the law.
And that's very important when you're starting a venture like this, especially the way you wanted to start it.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, I think what's cool about Albany Distilling in general is like we don't take the normal, like, okay, this is what other people do, so this is what we're gonna do. We always try to kind of like break the normal, which always means you walk into legal gray areas, and John is very good at figuring out how to follow the law, but really tiptoe on exactly how it's done perfectly.
Right.
And that's, John is such a value add to our company. Now.
And I guess that's why Indian Ladder Farms, Albany Distilling Company, Kindred Spirits, because you have to deal with the farm laws and the ingredient laws and all of the...
No, we never skirt the law.
We're
law-abiding citizens.
Yeah, no, we don't skirt the law. I would never either. Have.
I would say, we do not skirt the law. We are very by-the-book legal.
I know you are because I've met John.
Johnny Law.
We're just very good at finding...
Yeah.
What the SLA calls workarounds to make sure that we are following the law, but doing it a little bit differently so we can get a little bit
weird. What about write-offs?
Ooh, I'll find some write-offs.
You don't even know what a write-off is.
You write it off.
They write off what?
They're the ones
who is they?
They do it.
Don't get me excited.
We got to get
You talk about write-offs.
We got to get
is it getting hot in here? Or what?
Well, I don't understand why the fire is going. Just because we like to think it's a fireside chat, we don't really need to have the fire
it's
going.
It's a fireside chat, Jeff. You got to have the fire.
That's just weird.
You ask Johnny Law, he'll tell you that fire needs to be on.
Well, this is episode 10 of Agricultural Acts with Rick Sicari from Albany Distilling Company. I think that we've covered the bases as to who Rick is, and we're kind of up to modern times. We're at 2014, at least, when you joined the party there. Yeah. So we're going to play another round of stop looking at my sheet, Alex, trying to cheat.
Yeah, he's got the answers.
I just want to know about Alex. He's phone.
IKEA product or cheater. Scandinavian author, the game. We're gonna wrap up this episode with another round of this, and then we're going to dive into the, as I like to call it, the fruit of the loom, and how the relationship between Indian Ladder Farms and an Albany Distilling Company came about. We're going to talk about how Alex messed up and contacted you, Rick, and you bailed him out.
Sounds great.
Can we have pizza first?
Some more, yes, absolutely.
I'm hungry.
Some more stories about Frank, too, coming up in episode 11. Sorry, Rick, we have to talk about the world's worst person. IKEA product or Scandinavian author?
Guess we should have gotten this pizza from Franklin.
Resso, R-E-S-O.
Oh, that's what? IKEA.
Some say Reso, some say Resso. R-E-S-O.
That's got to be like a pillow.
Alex says it's a pillow from IKEA.
I'm going to say it's a pillow too. You know what? I'm going to go with duvet.
I've shopped
for
IKEA pillows.
I'm going to go with a lampshade. Yeah.
Lampshade.
Yeah.
Lampshade.
Dieter, you say?
I'm going to go with a bed skirt.
A bed skirt. Okay, so all IKEA products.
Yes.
You are all correct about that, but it's an outdoor children's picnic table. From IKEA.
Yeah, that's very far from a bed skirt, isn't it?
I hate this podcast.
Well, I believe you're all 3 for 3 on that game. You're just taking it to a next level that I was never even asking.
I got one wrong.
You did?
Everyone is
all right, way to self-police yourself.
Of
I appreciate that. You are listening to Agricultural Acts. Share it with your friends. Share it with your family. Share it with the brothers that you hate. We appreciate you sharing Agricultural Acts.
I'm not sharing anything with him.
You've been listening to Indian Ladder Farms Cidery and Brewery owner-operator Dieter Gehry. It's head brewer Scott Veltman, and it's head cider maker Alex Gill. The producers and engineers are Troy Pohl and Ian Carlton. Any questions, comments, thoughts, or suggestions can be directed to podcastilf@gmail.com. That's podcastilf@gmail.com. I'm Jeff Morad. Thanks for listening. See ya!